And we're off. Well, one of my favorite things about preaching is finding out where the sermon's going to come from. It's a mystery sometimes. And even after deciding the topic, there's that inevitable aha moment where you figure out the right approach to take. It's fun. And you never know where it's going to come from and in what form. Sometimes it comes from something very interesting you find while studying. Sometimes it's an insightful comment that somebody makes in a Bible class or a conversation during that week. And sometimes it comes in the form of a challenge. This sermon is in response to a challenge. At Wednesday night's Bible class, we were looking at 1 Peter chapter 1. We had looked at a statement where Peter said we should follow the example of Jesus, saying, "Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" I suggested that we're going to learn what it looks like to be holy as we continue to read and study in class. And we worked through the text, and we had a nice class, nice discussion. And then when we were close to the end of the class, Kathy, who is always good at keeping me on my toes, as I think she does for many of us, said something to the effect of, "You said we were going to learn what holiness looks like. What was the answer? I need examples, not just words." And so I tried to answer the question. I drew upon some Old Testament ideas and highlights from the 1 Peter text that we looked at. And then I asked, "Was that better, or was it just more words?" She said, "That was just more words." And others agreed with her. So I suppose they must have been right. And so here is my attempt to redeem myself and talk about what holiness looks like in more than just words. Let me know. To start, let's go to Colossians 3. It gives a nice place to start. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." I think this gives a pretty good roadmap, but there's one thing I need to do first before moving on. I need to tweak the terminology. You see, holy is a good word, an important word. I like holy. Holy reminds us that we are set apart. It teaches us about who God is. Be holy as I am holy. It teaches us who Jesus is. But holy is one of those church words. Right? You know how I feel about church words. It's a word that has very little meaning outside of a church context. In fact, when it's used outside of a church setting, it's usually not a positive thing. Right? Holier than thou. Or, you know, at best, holy moly. Or something like that. So I'm going to propose a substitute. I'm going to suggest we use awesome. It might be cheating a little bit. I'm okay with that. But awesome has its roots in the Bible too. It shows up 34 times in the Old Testament, in the NIV. Awesome is part of God's nature. When someone gets close to the power of God, they describe it as awesome. That's not so different than the identity marker found in the statement of "be holy as I am holy," right? Our God is an awesome God. I thought you might take the bait with the songs, but you resisted. Our God is an awesome God. And even more than that, Awesome is a word that has similar positive meaning to anyone you talk to. So, how do you be awesome? How do you create awesome? How do God's awesome people create an awesome world in the image of our awesome God? The first person that comes to my mind is this guy. I don't know if you've seen him. This is Robbie Novak. He's better known by the title Kid President. Robbie was born with a condition called osteogenesis imperfecta, also known as brittle bone disease. By the age of 11, he had broken more than 70 bones and had 13 orthopedic surgeries. Well, he never wanted that to slow him down. He wanted to play sports. He wanted to dance constantly. If you've ever seen one of his videos, there will be dancing. He wanted to change the world, and he wanted to tell other kids how to join him in doing that. He and his brother-in-law, Brad, started making YouTube videos about how to make everything more awesome. Their most popular videos he calls pep talks. And in his own unique way, Robbie encourages the viewers to realize the potential that each of us has. I'm going to attempt to play a video. I have a little bit of issue of communication between devices here. At the very least, we'll get audio. I'm going to try here. What is that doing? It didn't do that earlier. Yes, skip. Alright, why not stop trying to do that? I will just go with audio. Hopefully. Maybe. Tested this a bunch of times. This is thrilling, right? I'm not going to let this go much longer. Oh, well. Never mind on that. Here I had said, we got to figure it out, at least good enough. We didn't get good enough, but that's okay. We'll just talk. He talks about making the world awesome. He calls everybody superheroes. Well, he calls them at least heroes. He says, this one goes out to the heroes, everyday heroes. I'm talking to you. You're probably like, I'm not a hero. You're talking to the wrong person. And I'm all like, you're talking to the TV, so listen up. I think you're a hero, and you don't even know it yet. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you look in the mirror, and you don't really see a hero. You look, you just see a regular kid, a really good-looking regular kid. But you're a hero. Whether you're a kid or a grown-up, you are way more than you might think you are. You are more than your problems, and you are more than your mistakes. Somewhere inside, you are heroes. You might not have a cape or wear underwear on the outside of your clothes, which might be a good thing. You have everything right now to change the world. Everything. Heroes are just ordinary people who have done extraordinary things. They inspire people to be extraordinary. People like Nathaniel. He was 12 years old, and he is not okay with the fact that there are people in the world who don't have clean water. So he raised enough money to help 30 schools in Central Africa. Madison, when she was 15, she created a beauty pageant for boys and girls who have special needs because she wanted to celebrate real beauty. Kids can change the world, and grown-ups can change the world. It would go a whole lot faster if we work together. And he says more. He sounds better when he says, you don't need more of me saying that. What does awesome look like? It starts with your attitude toward other people. What did Colossians say? Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. As Kid President puts it, be like cheese and bacon. Make everything you touch better. Want to change the world? Be a day maker. Find ways to make someone's day better. Give high fives. Send cards. Tip big. Share. Write a song for someone. Treat everybody like it's their birthday. You don't have to buy presents or make cake, but we all know there are things that you would never say or do to someone on their birthday. Don't do those on other things. Don't do those things on other days either. Right? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Pass it on. So we have the right attitude about people. What's next? Well, think about how you talk to people. Our words can change the world. Our words can make this world more awesome, reflect our awesome God. And often when we speak about the power of words, we say about the negative way that words can affect people. But our words also have an amazing power to build people up and to inspire. I'd like to share a story that I read this week. In 1952, a young man was traveling to a nursing home to see his grandfather, who had taken a turn for the worst. His grandfather was many things to many people, but to him, he had always been Ding Dong. When he had been very young, Ding Dong had bounced him on his lap and taught him the nursery rhyme Ding Dong Dell, and the name stuck. And as he drove to the nursing home, likely to see Ding Dong for the last time, he remembered a day when he was 8, visiting Ding Dong's farm. As a city kid, he was fascinated by the many things at the farm, especially the series of stone walls that surrounded the property. He wanted more than anything to be allowed to climb the network of stone walls surrounding. But he knew his parents would never approve. The walls were old, some stones were missing, others were loose and crumbling. But on this day, he worked up the courage to ask. He entered the room where the adults had gathered after Sunday dinner and nervously asked, I want to climb the stone walls. Can I climb the stone walls? And instantly a chorus went up from the women in the room. Heavens no, they cried in dismay. You'll hurt yourself. He wasn't really disappointed. It was the response he expected to get. But before he could leave the room, he was stopped by Ding Dong's voice. Now hold on just a minute, he said. So the boy wants to climb the stone walls, then I say let the boy climb the walls. He has to learn to do things for himself. Now scoot on out of here, he said with a wink. And come see me when you get back. Yes, sir. And he was off. For the next 2.5 hours, he climbed those walls, skinned his knee, tore his pants, had the time of his life. Later, when he met with Ding Dong to tell him about his adventures, he never forgot what he said. He grinned and said, "You made this day a special day, just by being yourself. Always remember, there's just one person in this world like you, and I like you just the way you are." And if that sounds familiar to you, that's because Ding Dong's actual name is Fred Brooks McFeely. And his grandson was named after him, Fred McFeely Rogers, as in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Those words from his grandfather stuck with him. But as he was driving to the nursing home, this was before he was Mr. Rogers. He had just been working as a stagehand on a few TV shows in New York and feeling very discouraged about his future. His future in a business that didn't seem to have a place for his ideas about children's television. And in his words, he really didn't know where he was going or why. His self-confidence had sunk to near zero, and he'd never felt further from God. He had been warned that Ding Dong may not recognize him due to his condition. And when he came into the room, his grandfather was watching one of the shows that Fred worked on at the time, behind the scenes. "Hello, young man. Have a seat. And watch this show with me. It's a fine show." He sat down and watched the program. When the commercial came on, Ding Dong said, "You know, young man, this television's a mighty great invention. I have got a grandson in New York, and he told me all about it. He's something, that boy. He's going to do great things in television. Yes, he is." And he got tired and they had to go take him to lay down. Without even being able to recognize the face of his family, Ding Dong was able to give Fred everything he needed. A few weeks later, he got an offer to work with a small educational TV studio in Pittsburgh, and the rest, as they say, is history. There's power in our words. There is an awesome power in letting someone know that they are important to you. You make every day better just by being you. And I think truly one of the most underrated, powerful gifts is the ability to give a sincere compliment. He's going to do big things. You just see. That's the sort of thing that sticks with someone for the rest of their lives when done well. When you can look into somebody and see something good, something that God has created in them, and you call it out, and you show them that gift. It's an awesome thing. Our words build up. Our words heal and mend broken bonds. Colossians again. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. We're not going to get into the topic of forgiveness. It's far too big to cover this morning. But again, this is an opportunity where we can affect relationships and perspectives for a lifetime when we forgive. When we allow Jesus to live in our words, it can change the world, even if it's just for one person. And that's awesome. And finally, tying all of this together, and overall, these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. If there is a truer mark of what it means to be like Jesus than to love, I haven't found it. Jesus said it himself. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Want to make the world more awesome? Then above all, love. This is how the world will know who we are. I'll tell you what one of my favorite examples is. I know that I seem to be in storytelling mode today. I apologize. But I like this one. My favorite example of this idea of love showing imitation of Jesus happened when my sister Alyssa was very young. She was a very shy child, one of those that, you know, stick behind the leg of mom or dad. And our new minister, Steve Ennis, was very much not a shy man. And he would try to get Alyssa to talk to him, but she never would. Every time he failed, he would still tell her, "I want you to know, I love you." One day at church, Alyssa had to be taken to the hospital. There were these bushes outside the building with little blueberries that everyone knew not to eat. Everyone except Alyssa, apparently. Or maybe she's just too stubborn. Yeah. My parents took her to the hospital, and she was understandably scared. While waiting in the ER, my shy little sister asked my parents, "Can you get that man who loves me?" The people you come across will probably never look at you and call you holy. They may not ever even say that you're awesome and mean it in this way. But if you treat people like Jesus treated people, talk to people like Jesus talked, and love with the love of Jesus, they'll notice. That's the thing about being a Christian. It's not just words. It can't be. It's the way you live. It's who you are. And looking out at everybody here, I've got to say, you're pretty awesome. If there's anything anybody needs this morning, if we can hold you up, if we can try to show you God's awesomeness, if you have needs, this is the time to do it. If you need to come in contact with the awesomeness of God by taking him on in baptism, this is the time to do it. Any time's the time to do it. This is the time. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, please come as we stand and sing.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee.